And let's just ask him to continue to ask us for his blessings and to continue to anoint us with his Holy Spirit. Let's just take this moment right now to sing this song, 10,000 Reasons.
Your heart.
you go.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King.
His love, His
love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things.
His love,
His love endures forever.
Sing praise.
Been reborn, His love endures forever.
Sing praise,
sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong.
From the rising,
from the rising to the setting sun,
His love,
His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever.
Sing praise,
sing praise, sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise.
His love
endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever.
Sing praise.
Sing praise.
Today's responsive reading is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verses 9 to 11. Church, please read it with me together. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen. Our God is a beautiful Savior. Our God is a God of all majesty. And we know that today He is the risen King. Let's just take this moment and take this opportunity to praise and to worship Him and to know that Jesus is a beautiful Savior. Jesus. Jesus, beautiful Savior, God of all majesty, risen King, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, holy and righteous, blessed I Jesus.
Jesus, beautiful Savior. Jesus, beautiful Savior. Jesus, beautiful Savior.
Last time.
Jesus, beautiful Savior.
Let's give the Lord a clap offering.
Standing in awe of your grace.
ushers to collect the tithes and offerings. Let us take some moment to spend time in prayer for the tithes and offerings. It's going to be taken. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Let's take this moment to spend time in prayer for the tithes and offerings. Our gracious God and loving Father, we want to thank you for each and every cheerful giver. Lord, that the tithes and offerings taken will be used for the extension of your kingdom and for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread among your people. Lord, we want to commit each and every one of ourselves into your hands, O Lord, as we give, that we pray that you'll allow every cheerful giver to give right through their hearts. You commit each and every one into your hands. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. The blue bags is going to be for missions, and the red bags is for general offering. Let's try to sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, He heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning, church. Okay, good to see all of us back in the house of the Lord. We're going to take some time to welcome newcomers in our midst today. Do we have any newcomers in our midst? Can we have a show of hands? Anyone new? Right there. Good. Good. Anyone else? Come and join us at the Globe Cafe after the service. A couple of announcements. Before that, we ought to welcome each other. Come, let's stand up and just spend 3 minutes saying hello. Okay, VBS volunteer training. We had one yesterday, great turnout. We expect one more on Saturday, 2 to 5. We'll learn about the truths about the resurrections and how to defend that. So remember that. Alpha course will be starting its second lesson this coming Wednesday. We had more than like 45 people at Alpha, which is fantastic, praise the Lord. So continue to pray with us for the people who attend Alpha, that the Lord will really strengthen their faith. And for those who don't know Him yet and who seek Him, the Lord will speak to them. So, and those of you, it's not too late if you want to join Alpha. It starts at 7:15 p.m. every Wednesday. We also had the Gamma class. We did Mark chapter 1 up to verse 15. We'll be continuing 16 to 45 in the coming Wednesday. It's not too late for some of you who want to join. Please join. We had a great crowd. I think almost 50 people came, and then we've divided them to the various groups for discussion after the lesson. So please come and join us at 7:15 dinner, and then we'll break off into the classes at the youth hall. This is a snapshot of the First Baptist Church Education Center. We want to praise God. We started this homeschooling with Christian values. We started off in January this year. We Leland as the principal. That's her talking to one of the kids. It's held upstairs. And in the space of 8 months, we've, I think, come up to about 17 kids. And next year, we're projecting 2 classrooms already. So the Lord's been blessing. They recently had a convention in Sabah, where they participated in sports and various activities. And we did pretty well. You know, some folk got 7 medals and 6 medals and 5 medals and 4 medals. So I'd like you to remember them in prayer as this group continues to grow. And they're looking for people to, for teachers or volunteers to teach them the kids video or multimedia web design. So if any of you have those requisite skills, you could volunteer and basically invest in these young folk who come and join us, all right? Ho Chiak Corners today, for some of you who are culinary enthusiasts, please come. It's at 2 o'clock. You learn to cook tang po yok and ama's pork chops, okay? So that's always well attended. We've got a lot of non-Christians, so it's good to have you guys there to make friends and make the connection with them. Boys Brigade Sunday next week, there'll be a special offering for them to fund their activities. Now, but some of you have been complaining incessantly because there's no website to download the sermons and all that. So we have an emergency website up, www.nivmass. Okay, remember the word. You want to copy down in your handphones. This is nivmass.com/FBC. So if you click on the sermon part, the rest of the website doesn't work, okay? It only works for the sermon, all right? It's just an emergency website. And then you go down there, and then you click on to download or to listen. So just remember www.nivmass.com.fbc, okay? Now, this morning, we are going to have a special speaker. Massimo, can you stand up? He's doing his master's of theology, Christian studies with us as an intern pastor. And I reckon in about 2 years, he'll be a fully-fledged pastor ministering to us. And we in this church need to invest in young people because they're going to be leading this church into the future. So whenever they preach prepared, they feel like the earth is going to open up and swallow them and they die. That's how I feel every Sunday anyway. So and he happened to get sick, right, you know, with sinusitis and all that this weekend. So I'm sure he's fear and trembling. So when he's preaching to you afterwards, smile. He makes a joke, laugh. Not funny, so never mind. All right? It really helps the young folk as they, and don't complain to me or something, please. Everybody has to start off with the L license, right? Okay, and then we invest in our young people. He's going to be preaching to you at least once a quarter, and if he does well, we'll increase that. So we'll just pray for him as he steps onto the podium afterwards. Okay, over to Pastor. Who's doing the prayer? Pastor Moby. Okay.
Diana, can you roll it out, please? Diana. It marks a significant moment for someone's birthday. So can we have you up here, please?
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Dr. Peter. Happy birthday to you. May the good Lord bless you.
Thank you.
I asked Dr. Peter to come up. We'll pray for Dr. Peter in his ministry. You know, the way that he has led the church, we want to praise God. Let's pray for him. Let us stand together and just raise your, lift out your hand unto him. We want to praise God. Almighty God, we want to thank you as a church, as the body of believers, and Dr. Peter's extended family. We celebrate his birthday today, which even if it falls on Tuesday, we want to thank you. We can acknowledge this. Lord, we want to thank you for your blessings and your goodness upon him. Father, as he continued to seek you for wisdom in directing of the church, we ask, Lord, that you will speak to him in a very special way. And we pray for good health for him, for his family, that your love will continue to abound in him and directing the family, Lord, that they will be a channel of blessings to all those that they come in contact. So we want to thank you for your goodness and your blessing to us for putting him in our midst. So we commit him the days ahead and ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And as a family, again, I ask you to stand with me because I find it's very appropriate we stand before God as we want to commit the prayer points before him and to acknowledge of his presence and all before us. So as I read a portion of scripture taken from Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, for he says, "Who is a God like you? Removing iniquity and passing over rebellion for the remnants of his inheritance. He does not hold on to his anger forever because he delights in faithful love. He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities. He will cast out all our sins into the depths of the sea. He will show loyalty to Jacob and faithful love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days long ago." Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, in you, O Lord, there is no falsehood. In you, truly, Father, there's goodness and faithfulness. You are always there from the beginning and until today, that you are so genuine in your love for us. Lord, in the words of Prophet Micah, the heart of your care for us is the miracle of grace. Your mercy and compassion towards us, a sinful people. And we thank you for your divine forgiveness to us. And Lord, together as a family, we know that means as a forgiven people, there is hope in believing in you. And may we not take this lightly and continue to persevere in your word and teaching to us while it is found in the days of uncertainty. Lord, you desire us to act justly, to love faithfulness, and walk humbly. And in the days ahead, we pray, O Lord, that you will shape and mold us to become a people who love Lord Jesus and portray him in our walk. Father, even as we look at our nation, sometimes we ask this question: can this nation be saved from its moral decline? Lord, we see there's a great tendency of callousness, of seeing the total well-being of all citizens. But Father, as a church, we want to pray for everyone, for those in authority, for wisdom in all aspects of administration of this nation, so that our lives, we may lead a life of tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. May we look up to you for this nation. And we want to also, Lord, to commit before you the areas of the world that's inflicted with diseases, as well as those going through persecution. In the world of that are suffering from cruelty and persecution, sickness, Lord, may you envelop the loved one with your love and compassion towards them. And we continue to pray for our church, Lord, for this ministry, for the ministry of Alpha, the Education Center, Gamma, and for all those involved and those who are doing the work and reaching out to the others. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom, and most of all, Lord, being able to extend the hand of Christian love to everyone. We thank you again for the good attendance for the Vacation Bible School training on subject of apologetics. Lord, we pray that the training itself will give us greater confidence in sharing our Lord Jesus Christ to see to the children and to see each child as you do. We commit the committee and everyone involved, Lord, for good health and greater cohesiveness in the ministry that they serve. Lord, we know there are few people who are going through medical challenges. Challenges sometimes we don't even understand. So we want to pray, O Lord, for your healing hand and comfort to be upon them. And they would always remember your word and that your presence is always with them. We commit Nathaniel, Kern, Ken So, Jonathan Lee, Yap Sitin, Tina Chi, Tan Chun Kiao, Mrs. Navaratnam, and Auntie Yang. And Lord, finally, we want to commit Brother Masimao as he bring forth your word. Father, we pray that you will speak through him, grant him your confidence, grant him, O Lord, most of all, to know that the Holy Spirit is there with him. So we want to thank you and we want to commit the rest of the service before you. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I invite Brother Rong to read a portion of scripture before Brother Massimo share God's word with us.
I'm reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 28. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the Lord's word.
Good morning. Just give me a moment, let me get the table up here. That's good. I need lots of water. I'm not trying to put on a nice, sexy voice for everybody. This morning, Dr. Peter said, all put on fake smiles and fake laughs, and here I come and I say, you can't fake it to make it. Today, we find ourselves again in the Sermon on the Mount. We started off a while back, and we went to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We went through the Beatitudes. And today, I'll be talking about the last section of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus finishes his sermon. But before we get there, let me start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, just ask you to be with us this morning. Lord, that you give me the grace to speak your word faithfully. And Lord, give everybody else the grace to receive your word. And you convict all of our hearts. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we live in a fake world. Fake news is available every day. People fake their looks and wear fake clothes, buy fake watches, fake imitation electronics to create fake self-worth. We put on fake smiles, fake confidence to acquire fake friendships and build a fake image. We build fake identities online and offline to distract ourselves from the realities we live in. Authenticity is a rare thing. People in magazines don't really look like they do in real life, and food never looks like it does on a menu. You see, this is McDonald's. The advertisement is of Big Mac looks very different from what we usually get, and that's even angled at the most attractive point. Sadly, nowadays we are more surprised when the food actually looks like on the menu. Wow, just like the menu, huh? And in China, they have now fake eggs. But that's not the only thing they have fake in China. Now, when they build buildings, they put fake windows. They just draw them on, you know? This is on the left is an iPhone 4, and on the right is a cell phone. Looks exactly the same, and if you start it up, the apps which are built in are exactly the same. The only difference is you can't go to the App Store. That doesn't work. But it has a cool feature. You can actually take it apart and put another battery in it. How about this? During the World Cup in North Korea, supposedly this is what the news they received, that North Korea won 7-0 against Japan and 4-0 against America. So and that's supposedly what was broadcast in North Korea. So either they were faking it to their nation, or this piece of news is fake. Regardless, it still makes my point that we get a lot of fake news. How about fake profiles? There's tons of fake Facebook profiles. But if you really think about it, every one of us has a little bit of fake information on their profile. We always sound a little bit better on our Facebook profile than we actually are. How about having fake heroes? This is Lance Armstrong. You know, he had 7 medals for winning the Tour de France and other cycling championships. And he was ripped of all his medals because we found out that he was faking it by doping. He was on drugs when he was winning all his medals, and he's got ripped off all his titles. Genuine fake watches. Yeah, I mean, they're genuinely fake. I don't know if the guy's really honest about his illegal business, or I wonder what fake watches look like. Yeah? They're the lower quality, or I'm not quite sure, but it's interesting. But the funny thing is the business world always tells us to fake it till we make it, to pretend that we are what we are not. And that will make you more likely to succeed. They talk about body language and mental attitude. They proclaim that the outside will eventually change the inside and the circumstance that we are in. When authenticity is such a critical thing, many encourage us to be fake. They suggest that the road to success, making it, comes from deceit instead of hard work. We have been bombarded with so much fakeness in our lives that faking has become positive. Fake it till you make it. Put on that fake smile and your day will be better. The question is, when it comes to our salvation, a choice to repent of our ways and submit our lives to the Lordship of Christ. Can we here too fake it till we make it? I put that cable up here because to remind me to tell you guys a story, but recently my cable broke, my charging cable broke, and I needed to get a new cable, and I went to Suwon Parade. I wanted to go to the Cube, which is an original shop which sells original cables, but it was closed, so it didn't have the cable. So, because Empire is just too far of a walk, I went downstairs to the section, you know, behind the McDonald's, next to the ATM machines, if you know Suwon Parade, there's this area of phone shops. So I went to the guy, and I was like, hey, I need an iPhone 5 cable. So he asked me, you want fake or original? And I must honestly say, I was like, how much is the fake? And he told me 30 ringgit. And I said, how much is the original? He said, 79 ringgit. I was like, you know, I'll take the fake. But the problem is I recently bought a fake, and when I put it into my iPhone 5, this message popped up, this is not an original Apple product. and it didn't charge. So I told him, will your fake do the same? And he says, oh, no guarantees, brother. You better get the original. And no headache. I was like, okay. I mean, I'm convinced. Okay, so I'll take the original. So I took the original. I paid $79. And it's the same price that you pay in machines in the original Apple store for it. So I was like, okay, prices are right. So I bought it. And I went back to my office, and I plugged it in. And after about 5 minutes, bam, this is not an original iPhone cable. So I was really upset. So I drove back to Suwon Parade, you know, got really upset. I had to pay parking again, pay petrol again, you know. Now it's more expensive than the real original, you know, because it's a genuine fake, I don't know. Huh? But I went there and I told him, hey, brother, you know, this is not real. You sold me a false product. You told me it's original. So original factory, ma, you know. I was like, no, that's not what you said. You said it's original. You're very unlucky, like, brother. One out of 1,000 only will happen. So I said, can I have my money back, please? He said, no, I can give you a new cable. For sure it'll work. I was like, okay, fine. Then I took a new cable and went back to my office, plugged it in again. Bing! There's not an original iPhone 5 cable. So again, I got really upset now, and I rushed back to the shop, and I was like, hey, dude, this is not working. but somehow I changed my approach. I told him, you know, I work very close by. And in the church, you work at church? I was like, yes, I work at church. And he's like, very close. I said, very close. And I can come here a lot, you know. And and he's like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I think Jesus has a plan. I think Jesus wants me to speak to you a lot. and I said, so how about this? Every time I come back for a fake cable, you must take 15 minutes to listen to me talk about Jesus. And a bit stunned, he's like, okay. And one of my interns was with me, and I walked back, and I was really proud, you know, hey, you know, I you know, God has His ways, you know, and you know, I did something for God, and telling my office colleagues about it, and the sad thing is, but because I was really nervous that it won't work again, I went to the original Apple shop and I bought myself a real cable, because I get nervous when I'm offline, yeah, I get really nervous, and that's not good, but anyway, so I never went back. I never spoke to the guy. And over the last couple of days when I was preparing this message, I was thinking about it, you know, who's the real fake in this situation? You know, the guy who gave me the cable or me, because I never went back to speak to him about Jesus. And that's when it gets difficult, because, you see, we have a lot of fakeness sometimes in our Christianity, and this is Michael Gumucci. He's a singer from Planet Shakers and was part of Hillsong. He wrote a very powerful song called Healer, where he says, I believe you're my healer. I believe you're all I need. You see what happened to him? After an accident, he came out and he declared that he was dying of cancer. And many times on stage, you could see him with oxygen masks. And a lot of times he was bald because of supposed chemotherapy. And he wrote this song and he said, you know, I believe you're more than enough for me. It was very powerful. A lot of people went out to buy his album. But a couple of years later, his father had a press conference with a pastor and said, it's fake. He never had cancer. See, he came on stage with breathing mask and bald head, and it was all fake. You know, he said that he was actually really sick because he's sick of because he's addicted to pornography. So his cancer was a hide-up for that. But it's ridiculous. But it's not just, it's easy for me to talk to people I don't really listen to, but how about talking about people who I do listen to a lot? This is Pastor Mark Driscoll. I read three of his books. I was a real big fan, or am a big fan of him. But recently he was asked to step down of his church. He started a big church in America called Mars Hill, about 16 congregations, thousands of people. And he was recently asked to step down because of investigation, because he has been very abusive towards his fellow pastors or staff. One of the stories that he did, he created a fake identity and went online to his church blog and went to all the sites where people were talking, like, didn't agree with his opinion, and he went out with a fake identity and cussing with four-letter words at all those people who had a different opinion than him. Fake Christianity. And this is where the passage begins today, and I will look right in the center section of the passage today. We're talking about verse 22. It says, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?'" Now these are professing Christians. And why do I say that? It's because, you see, they say, "In your name, in your name, in your name." So that the people who take on the name of Jesus, they profess Christ. They're probably baptized. They have good doctrine. Why I say that is because they say Lord to Jesus. You see, the word Lord has a connotation of deity. It's back then in the early church, Christians did not want to say Lord Caesar. They only want to say Lord Jesus because it had a connotation of deity to it. So they have good doctrine. They understand that Jesus is Lord, that he's God. They are passionate. They don't just say Lord, they say Lord, Lord. In Hebrew, that's a way of conveying passion and conviction. And they are in ministry. They prophesy, they cast out demons, they do many mighty works. They're probably in Sunday school, in boys' brigades, they're in counseling, they're in youth. They're at the street feed. You know, they're teachers. They're preachers. People are being delivered from their ministries. But it's amazing what Jesus says to those people who profess Christ, have good doctrine, are passionate in our ministry. He says to them, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." He doesn't say, "I once knew you during the time that you were passionate or during the time you were professing Christ or during the time that you were doing ministry work." He says, "I never knew you. You never had a saving relationship with me." And that kind of hit me hard when I read that. And I said, "Well, how then can I tell? I mean, how can I tell what is a real Christian? I mean, how do we know?" Well, Jesus says we look like this right now. We look all good on the outside, but inside we are evil. We are evildoers. So a real Christian, and we go to the passage above it, and it says this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. All grapes are gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. But a diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit." So there's a lot of fruit there. So it seems somehow it has to do with fruit because he says it twice. You will recognize them by their fruit. You will recognize them by their fruit. So what is fruit? You see, I started looking through the whole Bible looking for fruit. I was kind of like a fruit ninja, you know, dissecting the whole Bible, looking around what fruit could mean. And I look at the Old Testament and it says fruit of loin. So I'm thinking, oh, so maybe how many offspring we have. And of course we spiritualize it. So how many spiritual offspring do we have? How many people do we help to come to faith? How many spiritual babies do we have? Or maybe it's the fruit of our labor. So it's the blessings we receive for being a Christian. You know, what God blesses us with, the fruits what we receive. Or maybe it's ministry itself. You know, the fruit is us doing ministry, but Jesus kind of debunked that just now. So I continued looking, and I finally came to this passage, and it was in Matthew 3, and it says this, even now, and this is the time where John the Baptist was going out and prophesying about the kingdom to come and Jesus to come, and he said this, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. See, it's exactly the same thing that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in this passage we're talking about today. See, every tree does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Exactly the same words. So I continued reading the passage, and I saw just above Matthew 3:10 is Matthew 3:8. And John the Baptist says this, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. So that's a clue. See, repentance is the prerequisite for fruit. Repentance is the essence on which fruit is developed. Without repentance, there is no fruit. You see, I continued looking through the whole Bible and I think, which other passage could talk about something like this, which talks about, you know, repentance and fruit? And I came to this passage in the New Testament in Galatians, and it kind of seemed exactly the same, because it talks about having one way of living, which is now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, etc. And then it turns around, so it turns away from that life. It repents and says, but the fruit is now love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. See, this is the fruit that Jesus is talking about. So it's not what you do that is fruit. It's what you become. It's not what we do, it's what we are, which is the fruit. See, it's having this inner transformation and fleshing it out through our character. It's not being conformed to religiosity, to practices of the church, but it's being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it begins with repentance. See, the other day I was at the Alpha and Gamma dinner, a brother who just recently came to faith came to me and said, Massimo, I've been recently at the Street Feed ministry, and I've realized one thing, you know, since I've been teaching the Tamil kids there, I've become more patient. You see, that's the fruit. The fact that he became more patient. Not the fact that he was at the Street Feed ministry. So if we are doing ministry and we're going out and working in the church and we don't feel a change in our lives, we have to look back at these words and see, are we one of those Lord people? Our ministries must be marked by fruit. And that kind of brings us to the next section. And I'm kind of working myself backwards. We started from verse 22, went to 19, and now we're at 13, and it says this, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This is my hometown, or my father's hometown in Italy. It's Venas di Cadore. It's in the Italian Dolomites. So that's where we are from. And I always love going there. I really love going there because I remember the incident I had when I was a young child going there was I was really sick. And we went there, and you must understand, my whole family, they are ice cream makers. Yeah. I know, that's really great enough, isn't it? Yeah. So everybody makes ice cream there. And so I arrived in a town, and I was sick. I had tonsillitis. And they gave me ice cream. They gave me fresh-made lemon sorbet. I mean, for me, that was heavenly, isn't it? I mean, you are sick, you go to this town, and you get ice cream for every occasion. You know, so every time when my parents wanted to go there again, I was like, yes, let's go. You know? And besides that, we had a lot of fun barbecuing there, and it was always great memories. But getting there wasn't that easy. You see, there's only like a single way that leads up. You see that white circle there with the arrow? That's where we live, or where the home is. And there's one very narrow, difficult way to get up there. And to show you how difficult it is, this is the passage that you have to drive up. So you can see here, especially here, this corner here. I'll show you here as well. This corner here. I mean, it's difficult to drive. And I remember being a child, and at that point of time, I was the smallest sized person in my family. there was such a time. And so we were seven people in the car. It was like a combi car. And seven people going down from Germany to Italy. So it's a good 9 hours, 10 hours drive. Seven people in the car and a dog. And a German Shepherd. Because I'm the smallest, I was stuffed in the back with the dog. So I was crushed in there. I was really cramped, was really tight, you know, and we were traveling, and it was really difficult, the whole journey. And my sister was even worse for her, because, I mean, she gets car sick. So she was suffering the whole journey there. You know, but we were all willing to go through this journey because we knew the destination that we're going to go to. And even though when we looked down on the right of our windows, we saw like the drop, you know, we didn't fear because my father was driving the car and he told us he'll get us there. And we trusted him. See, this is the reason why we love to go there. This is the broad view that you see once you pass that narrow way. You see, you go there and you can just stretch your arms and you can breathe life. We go through a narrow journey and through a narrow gate, not because of the comforts of the way, but we go through it because of the destination. The problem is, every time you hear the word narrow, we have a negative connotation to it because we think of narrow-minded. And when we talk to people about Jesus, they always call us narrow. Because we tell them, you know, Jesus is the only way. And he says, oh, that's very narrow. But this word narrow has nothing to do with narrow-minded. It has to do with something completely different. You see, it says, enter by the narrow gate. Now, the older translation, if you look at the KJV, uses the word straight. And straight is a much better word. It comes from the word straitjacket. Same kind of straight. So it's confined, constricted, crushed. Actually, if you look at the word straight, and I went to a thesaurus and I went there, it has amazing words. It says this: dilemma, extremity, hardship, plight, embarrassment, squeeze. And that's the narrow way. But if you look at the antonym of that, so that what would be the broad way, isn't it amazing what it says? It says this: advantage, benefit, blessing, comfort, ease, good fortune, miracles. You see, the reason why the gate is narrow, it has a couple of ways, and I think a good way to explain it is it's like a turnstile. You guys know this kind of turnstiles, or if you do high security, this is a full body kind of turnstile. And every time you go through a turnstile, you know, you can't go through with many people. You gotta go through it alone. And that's why the gate is narrow. See, we go through it alone. There is no community saving. We're not Christians because our parents are Christians, or we're not Christians because our family are Christian, or our ethnic group is predominantly Christian. We are Christian because we made a single decision to come to Jesus Christ, and we made it alone. And it's narrow because we can't go through it with baggage. We kind of got to leave our baggage behind. You see, have you ever tried to go through a turnstile with lots of bags? It doesn't work. You got to let them go. And what's the baggage? It's usually everything we have built, our false identities, our pride, everything we have built to glorify ourselves, everything we do to be good people. And we have to come to the understanding that that's not what gets us into heaven. You see, in the Beatitudes, when we started the Sermon on the Mount, it says, you must be poor in spirit. You must be crushed. You must understand that we are spiritually bankrupt. So we must bend ourselves to fit through the cross. And that's why only few will find it. It's difficult to give up our lives. It's difficult to crush everything that we have built our lives on. Real, authentic, and radical repentance is rare. See, Jesus gives us two options: to choose the broad way or the narrow way. And we choose the narrow road not for its comfort or for its convenience. We choose it for its destination. Those who choose to walk the narrow road are not narrow people. They are broad in their sympathies and they are broad in their purpose. They don't put their lives into their own houses, lands, or bank accounts. They live with a sense of the eternal. They take the perishable and turn it into treasures that outlast them. They are not narrow in their goals. They are broad in their hopes. No, the folks who choose the narrow gate and travel the narrow road are not narrow people. To walk with Jesus gives them sympathies as broad as all mankind, purpose as great as heaven itself, and hope that is eternal. Jesus, at the last section of his sermon, talks about two houses. Two houses built on two different kind of foundations. He says this: everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, this is the image. And I Googled houses built on sand. And every single picture I saw was a house broken down. And there are tons of them. You would imagine people would have learned by now, right? I mean, but there are really people who still build houses on sand all the time. And it keeps on breaking. It keeps on crushing. So the question is, what is that rock and what is that sand? Well, the rock is Jesus Christ. The rock is the Word of God. And the sand, well, it's everything else. And anything else. It's any religion, maybe Christian or not, that says that we are working ourselves into salvation. And Jesus says, we are fools if we build our house on sand. See, we must build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ. And maybe I'll invite the worship team up again, and I'll just close by saying a few words. And see, Jesus says this, and we're going back to the beginning of the section we started with. He says this: on that day. And every time the Bible says that day, it's talking about judgment day. It says, on that day, many will say to me. That means they will talk to Jesus. So everybody on that day will come to Jesus. Now we've got two options: to meet him today or meet him tomorrow. So tomorrow, where he's going to be our judge, or today, where he's our Savior. To meet him tomorrow, where he's pouring down his wrath, or today, where he's pouring down his grace. See, we must choose grace. We cannot fake it. to make it. Our lives must bear fruit. We must walk through a narrow gate and take the hardship of life of the cross with us. And we must choose grace. And we cannot fake it to make it. But brothers and sisters, we must make it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just are tired of living in a fake world and building fake identities. Lord, we just pray that you come to us in ways that you crush our hearts, Lord, so that we fit to that cross, to a narrow gate, and walk that life, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you come and show us your ways. Father, you said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Father, we are hungering and we are thirsting for righteousness. For righteousness in our lives today, and the righteousness that you will bring on that day. Father, we pray that you work in us and that you bring us to our knees so that we may have life in you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Matthew, for the message that was given today morning. As a closing song, you will sing, let all arise and sing the song, Eagle's Wings.
Come live in me.
Let's pray. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Please be seated. A time of silent meditation. The service is over. And those who have need of prayer, please come forward. Thank you.